The underdog is howling.
Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that? We're back!
Thank you, Sam Ellinger, for the intro. As yes, we are back. Bear, we will get to the Italian travels later on. But let's face it, everybody is here. Everybody's been asking, Twitter, Instagram, texting, whatever. When is your pod coming out? We're here. So let's get right to the picks. Do you have anything else before we start, buddy? Hello to you.
Well, hello to you. It's good seeing you again. For those not aware, we're sporting the UTSA Roadrunner hat there. Sharp lid, by the way.
Big year for the Roadrunners.
Potentially.
They're up at the top of the list of win totals.
Are they?
Yeah, they're up there with a little eight in front of them.
Why don't you into that one? Or
No. I have others that we will get to. But let's jump in. You have five. I have five. Then we're going to get to the picks that we've already put in for the season, whether it's a Heisman Trophy winner, whether it's a week one line, whether it's a win the conference, win a division. We'll get to those, and then we'll have some fun on the back end and just things we're looking ahead to. We're going to be with you every week from here on out to the season. We're going to try and do some two conferences every week until the start of the season is what we have planned. Maybe we want some guests on there. Maybe you guys want to reach out and tell us who you want on the pod, who's been good guests for us before. But we are here. The season is getting closer. So I'm going to dive in first, Bear, with my first one. And the coaches poll just came out about a half hour before we tape this. And I'm not sure we're going to have many teams ranked in that thing, but that's why the people are here. They want the off the board picks. But these are my favorite five after looking at this the last couple of weeks. I will have more as the season gets into it, but, I'm going to the ACC. I'm going BC over seven. I really like what Halfley's done. You read his quotes. They were one of the first.
You got a good number there at seven.
That's Caesars right there. So we're jumping on that bad boy. But getting back, Halfley, he admitted, I want to say they were one of the first teams to shut it down when everything got shut down. And that's tough. I mean, they waited on Djurkovic as a transfer, no spring ball, him coming in. Halfley admits, they had to keep everything extra vanilla. Four of their five losses last year were to ranked teams, and that included two losses by a combined 10 points to Clemson in North Carolina. I love Djurkovic coming back. I love the talent they have at receiver. Zay Flowers could be one of the top I think he is one of the top receivers in the ACC. Jalen Gill, who followed Halfley from Ohio State's there. And they also got Alex Sinkfield from West Virginia, who's a speedy guy. And another guy I saw a couple things been written up the last couple of days. They got the FCS All-American tight end, Trey Berry from Jacksonville State. So I think he's going to be a huge threat. They have all five on the back on the O-line. No coaching changes. Now, they haven't won eight games since 2009. The O's of Dazio,
exactly
seven games. No Notre Dame, no North Carolina, no Miami on the schedule. I really think they got some top three draft picks on that offensive line. Top three round type of guys. So I like that stability. I trust Halfley with the defense, and I like BCO over seven a lot. That's my first one for you.
Yeah, the interesting thing is going to be see whether they can crack through and win a game against a ranked opponent. I think it's what 19 straight now against ranked teams. And Halfley last year, the buy-in, Djurkovic is an absolute, savior for that program to give them a threat of a passing game for the first time in a long time. So I can totally see that with you. Seven and certainly don't see six and six. I think seven and five is probably the most likely. You're running down the schedule. The only game that they aren't going to win is at Clemson. Everything else is certainly something going into the year that you can expect BC to be in that game. So I'm with you on the over there. That would be the the side I would place.
I will say I love they went toe-to-toe with Clemson last year. I love that they've seen it. They know what they're getting into. And like I said, I'm over seven. I like them a lot this year. I could see double digits. I really could.
So you're starting positive. I'll start positive as well.
There we go.
Usually I'm Mr. Negative and I'm a downer and everything, but I'm going to start positive and Oregon over nine. Even if the Ducks lose in Columbus, is it 9-3 like a worst case scenario for them this year? Mm. I think they're going to be better than everybody they play on their Pac-12 schedule. They don't face USC and Arizona State from the South, which is a massive deal. The recruiting classes that they have signed in the last 5 years have been unbelievable. They have kind of supplanted USC as like the best recruiting classes in that conference. Defensively, I know you have to replace Andy Avalos, which is a big deal. But Tim DeRuiter comes back, and we've seen his Cal defenses be very, very successful. He's familiar with the Pac-12 and that defense. What makes this Oregon team different from a lot of other Oregon teams in the past? Chip had some good defenses. They had some dudes on the defense that helped get them to the title game. But this, I think, you've got a guy like Thibodeau. You got Noah Sewell, who is going to be an absolute stud. Justin Flo is back. They got a lot of guys coming back on that defense. But if you're losing Columbus, isn't 9-3 like the worst possible case scenario? And I still think 10-2 at least is very likely. I think they're going to be fine at quarterback, even without even with Chuck on. Chuck kind of, after that like Pac-12 title game, his play really went downhill. And I don't think it's as big of a loss as people might believe. I think with Brown and then the freshman that they have who enrolled early, I think they're going to be fine. I think Moorhead has a ton of weapons at his disposal. The offensive line comes back nearly intact. So maybe they get tripped up potentially on the road, either in Seattle or in Salt Lake. But top to bottom, I think this is the best roster in the Pac-12. And I think 9-3 is worst case scenario, but I think Oregon over is something that I am on board with here.
I'm interested to see what, and like you said, with Shuck and Moorhead, I'll take Moorhead all day. Give me him for another year to figure it out. Now, I do think the schedule is interesting because Fresno State is going to come in with a game played against UConn, who we will get to, and then at Ohio State, September 11th. And then you have Stony Brook in Arizona before they go to Stanford October 2nd. So if he wants to stay with the veteran Brown in that raucous, you know, atmosphere in Columbus, I could see that. And then you got 2 week window where you could play the young kid. And if that's your guy going forward, that's a nice, nice setup to have for them. So I think that's a big move for Moorhead and company regarding the quarterback position. We know how important that is to that team and, you know, to every other team. Obviously, especially when you have the, you know, postseason aspirations. But I think Oregon might be in a class of their own when it comes to the conference, especially when you're talking wins and not having to play Arizona State and USC, as you mentioned. I'm going to stay positive. I'm going to the MAC, and I'm going to Toledo. Over 8.5, they got talent all over the place, 21 returning starters. Somebody told me they got 6 potential draft picks on this team. They got a big play receivers. They got running backs. You know, the offense is already good. They averaged 35 last year. And I think they got a big jump on the defensive side of the ball. You know, scouts are telling me, you know, they got an NFL corner in Sam Womack, NFL safety in Tyson Anderson. Defensive end Jamal Hines is a legit player. They got an interesting game at week 2 in South Bend where Notre Dame's going to be coming off that game in Tallahassee. So I think it's going to be
right before the game against Wisconsin too, I think, right?
Yeah.
Perfect sandwich type game.
You know, they get Colorado State coming to them, you know, early in the year after that Notre Dame game. So I like Toledo a lot this year in the MAC, and I really, really like them over 8.5 as far as that thing goes. And it goes to the talent they have and the coaching staff. I just really like what they have there in Toledo.
And the good thing, too, is they get very beatable bad teams on the road, too, with Bowling Green and UMass. I mean, those, you don't want to waste your home games
correct
on teams that you can beat away from home. So the fact that they get two of the worst teams in the country like that on the road is also a bonus for, mm-hmm. For Toledo.
Very good.
All right. Well, you've gone positive route again. Now the under express is about to leave the station here.
All right.
And I'm going to drive a stake through the heart of a lot of people right now doing this, because we got back together last year and it was a beautiful 1 year fling that we had after some rocky turbulence, and I'm going to go under on Indiana.
Okay.
I played Indiana under 8. I think there are still some 8s out there. There might be 7.5. I just don't see this team going 9-3. You lose Kane Womack, defensive coordinator, who's now down at South Alabama. Mm-hmm. You lose Jamar Johnson, who was one of the leaders on that defense. And you just wonder, last year, was it real? Or was it just total circumstances as to everything that was going on? The first game of the year, you get Penn State. The conversion, Penix didn't get in, but they ruled it. They ruled he got in, and they won the game. That was a springboard to what happened the rest of the year. You beat Maryland, who is as Jekyll and Hyde as anybody mm-hmm. last year. You beat an awful Michigan State team. You beat a Michigan team who is as bad as they are ever going to be. You beat Rutgers, who it was a perfect spot to take on Rutgers. And then Wisconsin had all sorts of problems last year and was basically playing out the string. Now, you got to give them credit. They won those games. And I mean, some of the superlatives for Indiana last year, beating Michigan for the first time since 87, beating Wisconsin for the first time since 2002, beating a top 10 team for the first time in 30 somewhat years. That is all great. But I just wonder about the offense here. Penix still hasn't made it through a year. You lose impact players on that offense and what player in Stevie Scott. The offensive line has been bad as well. So I just am a little bit concerned about IU moving forward here. Looking at the schedule, like right off the bat, you've got a game at Kinnick, which is not going to be an easy game. You've got Ohio State. You've got Cincinnati. You've got a lot of difficult games. And I just don't see 9-3. If I push on 8-4, that's fine. I'm mm-hmm. going to deal with that. But I don't think I'm losing at 9-3. I think, and look, like 8-4 for Indiana, take last year out of the equation. That's a great year for them.
Absolutely.
And even if they go 7-5, that's a good year for Indiana. But I do like what Tom Allen's doing there. Obviously, those kids are buying in, and it's clear it's a program that's on the improve. I just think little too much of an expectation level now for IU. So I'm going to be under 8 on Indiana.
Okay. Let's leave it to Bear to go 20 minutes into a podcast and be negative about the nicest guy in the world, Tom Allen. So we'll move on. I'm going to stay in the big
props. I just don't.
I know. I'm just messing with you. You know, people will have fun with that. I'm going to stay in the Big Ten East. I'm going to do Penn State here. Okay. Now, I really like the hire of Mike Yurcich. Franklin wanted him originally, and then he took, you know, I would imagine he looked at the check that Tom Herman was giving him in Austin, and he went there. But now he's got him at Penn State. I really like Clifford as a quarterback. I love the way he plays. It's reckless, but I do worry about it. They also have a stud of Rasheed Walker, left tackle. Jahan Dotson could be the best receiver in the ACC. And Noah Kane, who they lost in the season opener to that Indiana game, I think it was the first series, will be back. But when I look at Penn State as a whole, I look at that schedule. Now, you and I have gone back and forth about that mm-hmm. Week 1 game in Madison. I don't think they've played there since 2012, if my research is right.
I think you're right. I think that's the Erasmus James game where, like, Erasmus James knocked out three Penn State quarterbacks, and Frank Ganner's son, I think, actually wound up playing quarterback that game. It was a wild night in Madtown.
There's plenty of good. To me, it's just there's the schedule. There's no let up. At Madison to start, you got Ball State, Auburn, and then you got Indiana, as you mentioned. You know, later in the year, they go to Iowa, they go to Ohio State. You got to replace NFL defensive guys like Owe and Tony, you know, up front. I saw they just had another in-season-ending injury come out yesterday. on their front seven. And with Clifford, as much as I love him, he is fearless. He's a reckless player. He plays, and that's what I love about him. But they don't have anything behind him with experience with Levis going to Kentucky. They got two guys in Taquan Robertson and Christian Viu who don't have a snap, college snap of experience. And if some, you know, Clifford's shown, you know, he gets dinged and comes out. And, you know, they had the package for Levis last year. But to me, in its totality, and I went back, that great recruiting class they had in 2018, there's only 11 guys left from that recruiting class on the roster. Now, Franklin's done a great job of jumpstarting everything, and they're killing it recruiting now. But as far as this year goes, and that win total at 9, I'm going to go under there because I still think there's some tough games. And I always like the quick results here when we're talking season win totals to try and get out in front of that. I'll tell you right now, if they win at Madison, we got a loser. I'll tell you right now, because that's one I had penciled in as a loss. But you still have games.
I wouldn't say a loser. It's still pushy at Ohio State, at Iowa, and they certainly slip up.
But everybody else is at home. You know, you get Auburn at home, you get Indiana at home, you get Michigan at home. So that's going to be one we got our eyes on early on. And I'm going to go under Penn State, under 9 there as my third pick.
You hit on the coordinator change again with Yurcich. Third different coordinator for Clifford. And what is that now? Like 5 now for James Franklin in his tenure at Penn State. A lot of turnover at that offensive coordinator position, which I guess can be viewed as a positive or a negative that guys are moving on for bigger and better jobs. But at the same time, they're quick to bolt as well. So interesting season, I think, coming up in State College. Like, that was a weird year they had last year.
Really weird.
I give them all the
credit for bouncing back.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. You really should have beaten Indiana. You really should have beaten Nebraska. You're sitting there at 0-5 and you run the slate to really. So that is definitely a positive for Penn State, at least that they did not quit on the season last year and they did rally. I'm going to continue the under. And look, you didn't. I'm not coming here looking at bet overs. I'm not happy joy. I'm a realist, and I'm going to Conference USA, and I'm going to bet under 3.5 for Old Dominion. It's a team that didn't play last year. You mentioned Penn State former offensive coordinator Ricky Ronnie is now at ODU. This is a team that went 1-11 in 2019. They should beat Hampton. They won't win another non-conference game. You really don't know like what's there. I think they're well behind everybody in Conference USA East, so they're likely not going to win any games there. And they're probably behind UTEP in Conference USA West, and they got to go to UTEP. I just don't see 4 wins on that Old Dominion schedule. I mean, Liberty on the road, I'm going to be Liberty. Buffalo, I mean, Buffalo's still got some players, and your road games, UTEP, who we talked about, is a toss at Marshall. They're not going to win at Marshall. They're at FIU. They're at Middle Tennessee. And this is a team I think that is just completely starting over. They're going to be happy to be on the field, and whatever happens, happens. But I don't think this is a 4-win team. So I'm going to go under 3.5 on the Monarchs.
Okay. I'm going to pick up the spirits here, and we're going to go to the rent, and it's UConn.
Pick up the spirits.
It is UConn football, who, speaking of, we have not seen in a long time. And
another
looking
team
back,
really just like Old Dominion, haven't seen them in a while either.
Yeah, and looking back, man, was it bad in 18 and 19. In 18, Edsel's team gives up 8.8 yards per play. In 19, they got better, only gave up 7 yards per play. Average giving up 467 yards and 41 points per game. Opponents went over 50% on third downs against them.
Is that good?
It's good for the teams that are playing them. But here's the deal. They're independent now, okay? And the schedule has multiple chances to get we need 3 wins. The over-under's 2.5, okay? We open the season at Fresno State, who I might be giving out Fresno State. We'll talk that game. In a bit, who's I think it's at 28 right now. I actually think Fresno State's going to be pretty good there. I really like their head coach. And then they get Holy Cross. Okay. Got to win that one. Then you got Purdue at Army. Edsel's had, you know, experience playing against Army. You never know. They get Wyoming, who, you know, has a high win total. I think Wyoming's in the eight. Yeah.
Yeah, they're one of Wyoming's the higher win totals in the Mountain West.
You know, then you get at Vanderbilt, and then you got UMass. And then
you get 3 weeks in October, baby.
Yes. UMass, Yale, Middle Tennessee. And here's the best thing. You know whether you got a winner or a loser by October 22nd because they finish at Clemson, at UCF, and versus Houston. You're not getting any of those. They do have a stud running back in Kevin Mensah. Give him the ball over 200 times this year, Randy Edsel. Just give it to him. Good things will happen. But I do think, as bad as things were, they're better than those teams. Hopefully, we don't even need the Middle Tennessee game. Hopefully, we already got our three before that with Holy Cross, UMass, and Yale. So give me UConn. I can't believe I'm saying this. Give me UConn over 2.5. Let's get that 3 wins. Back to you.
Under 1.5.
What?
Yale Monroe. Look, this is a team that defensively is terrible. It's not even a lock that they beat Coach Sanders' team to start the year. They Kentucky start the year, and they're not going to win that game. And then they got Coach Sanders' team in Monroe.
Ooh.
They had one game last year that was decided by fewer than 18 points. Rich Rod is the coordinator. Terry Bowden, year one, in a weird hire. Like, I don't think anybody saw that hire coming.
Mm-mm.
But Rich Rod's son, Rhett, might wind up being the quarterback. He's there with him. You look down the two deep, it's just a bunch of freshmen and sophomores who have never played. Even if they got some guys coming in from the portal, like, this is a complete year zero reboot type team. So I just don't see it. Like here's the schedule just for those like under.
Oh, I got it in front of me.
Under 1.5, and you're going to give them a win against Jackson State. So they just got to win one more game. Okay. Well, Kentucky's a loss at Kentucky. Troy, they're not beating Troy at Coastal. That's a loss. Georgia State is a good team. And I thought about going, Georgia State is a sleeper potential to win the conference. Liberty, they're not beating. Mm-mm. South Alabama is going to be improved with Womack there. And they were a better team than their record indicated last year as well. At App State, they're not winning. They're not going to be able to slow down Texas State.
No.
Arkansas State with Butch down, they're not going to beat them. And then they go to LSU, and then they go to Louisiana.
Raging Cajuns put up 70 on them last year.
Yeah, they lost 38-14 to South Alabama last year.
A lot of love for the Jags down south this year with all the transfers and new hires.
There should be. There totally should be. We might talk about them a little bit later in the podcast as well. So UL Monroe under 1.5 is another one of my win totals that I like. That's my I think that's my fourth, right? Fourth or third?
Yep, that's your fourth. My fifth is a big one because I'll definitely be watching this week one, and it's Kansas State with Coach Klieman. They open up with Stanford at Jerry World, and then they also have Nevada week three. I think Kansas State's going to be 3-0. Then they go Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and Iowa State. So 3-0 to maybe 3-3. I love they got Skylar Thompson back. I also love the idea their backup was a true freshman last year, Will Howard, got thrown to the Wolves the week after Skylar Thompson beat Oklahoma, and Howard had to play the rest of the way. Now, the offensive line wasn't great, but they get all those guys back. They get a spring ball. Klieman, I thought, was really honest in his assessment of his staff last year, saying, you know, we're not making excuses for COVID. We didn't do things the way we should have as a coaching staff. So I really think there's a buyback in there. They did still start 4-0 in the Big 12 last year.
And then the quarterback injury killed them.
Yeah, before everything just went haywire. And at the back end of the schedule, if we could get 3 or even 2-1 to start the season, you got games at Texas Tech. I know people like TCU, but you get TCU in Manhattan, at KU. You get West Virginia at home and Baylor at home before a trip to Austin and Texas to finish the year. I'm a believer in Klieman. They have five starters in the transfer portal that came in and are going to play for them. I like that idea of his offense. I do like the idea that he's brought a different style, you know, to the Big 12 and has done well. You know, yeah, he probably overachieved in that first year with Snyder's players, but now they've had a full year of getting things the way he wants them. We know how good and how cranked up he had it in Fargo. I'm not saying they're going to be that good, but I do see six wins on the schedule for Kansas State here. So give me the over 5.5 for Kansas State this year.
I'm going to go move to the ACC and go with another under.
Okay.
I'm going to go under on Louisville. Now, I already bet this at 7. I don't know if 7 still out there, but 6.5, I still do like it. It's 6.5. Just a weird vibe I get out of Louisville. Like, I thought they'd be making much more progress by now, but Satterfield out there, like, kind of lurking, maybe hunting for some other jobs.
I don't think he kind of was. I think he was.
Yeah. Well, you said it, not me. I'm trying to put it nice and soft and not really just rig them over the coals. But yeah, it's just a weird situation. That you look at the non-conference, you get Kentucky, UCF, and Ole Miss, and you might go 0-3 in those games.
Mm-hmm.
BC and NC State are going to be better. You talked about BC at length earlier. The defense is not good. Offense last year struggled against every good defense that they faced. And now you got to wonder, is Cunningham the guy at quarterback or not? You lose JV and Hawkins. You lose both wide receivers. I don't know, man. I think this program, the offensive line, like I talked about, is terrible. And it's not just like a 1 or a 2 year deal. You go back over the last like 5-6 years and no one's allowed more sacks in the country than Louisville. So there's what I thought was going to kind of be like a 1 or a 2 year purge of all everything bad that Bobby Petrino did in terms of lack of recruiting and the kids that left. And I thought last year you might start to see Satterfield build this back up. I was a little concerned with what happened last year and then in the off season. So if you can find 7, great. It's a strong under on 7, but it's still under at 6.5 if you can't find any 7s.
Yeah, Caesars already has it down to 6.5. The thing with them was turnovers. I mean, the games I watched last year, they lost every game, I think, until one of the last games against Wake Forest, which they won, and they didn't turn the ball over. Imagine that. That's how it goes. That side of the ACC, I mean, I get it. But I do think it's improved. I mean, with Satterfield there, he's got a lot of people to win over. And you got to think they're going to bring everything they have to try and, you know, get in people's good graces with a win over Ole Miss. But that's a lot easier said than done week one.
Okay.
That Monday night. A couple others I just didn't pull the trigger on. If we're going to just touch on a couple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of my two wild cards this year. There's two teams I have eyes on, and I'll talk about the other here, but it's Texas. I love Sark. I love the staff that he brought in there. I'm a believer in that he's gonna get back to double-digit win seasons there. I just worry if the roster is deep enough to win more than 8 games. He had the best case scenario, you know, in Alabama when he has the best guys at every position and has an advantage at every position on every snap. I do love how he's pointed out numerous times that every good team he's had and the staff he's had a 1,000-yard rusher. So I expect Bijan Robinson to get the ball a ton. But when you look at that schedule, man, it is a tricky first couple games. I mean, when they go to Fayetteville, I'm not even talking about Louisiana Lafayette because we'll talk about that in the week one lines. But that game at Fayetteville, like, those people are going to want blood. That is going to be a crazy atmosphere. I was thinking about the under there just because I think 8 is the ceiling, and that's the number. And then the other team, and listen, I know we're going to talk about him as a Heisman candidate, is Sam Howell in North Carolina. If I didn't go to Stanford, I was going to play for Mac Brown in North Carolina. I've said it many times before. I love what he's got back going there. But when I look at Sam, and I listen, he's my favorite quarterback in the sport. There's no doubt about it. I just go back to the idea of him not having the guys to make him good, look as good as he's been. You know, he came and started as a freshman. Those four guys that got drafted, the two running backs and receivers, were upperclassmen. Last year, you know, they balled out and had a great year. Now he's got to go back to what younger guys, inexperienced. I know they do have the running back coming in from Tennessee, but 10 wins, I mean, that's a high number with a lot of guys that Sam's got to get, you know, familiar with. I know they got the offensive line coming back, and I know Bateman really likes the youth that they have on the defensive side. But if I'm going to lean somewhere on Carolina, I would have to lean under there because I just think I worry. Yeah. Same thing with Texas. The roster to win 11 games, that's saying something because that means you're going to the playoffs.
They're probably going to be favored in every game with the exception at Notre Dame, depending on how the Irish do with Cole. I just hit on what you were talking about before. I think their roster's loaded. I mean, the team that was on the field in the Orange Bowl against A&M was really, really good. And it's just the youth, they just wore down late. But Gowans looks like he's going to be a star. You mentioned Ty Chandler coming in there. And, they're at Virginia Tech to start, which is an interesting game. And I think the Hokies have their own problems. And I think 10-2 is like worst case in it. I mean, this is a team that just dominated Miami last year. And I think they're clearly the best team in the Coastal. And if you're looking for like an alternative to Clemson to win the ACC, like the way I would play it is just bet Sam Howell to win the Heisman at 15-1. Because if North Carolina goes 12-1 and beats Clemson in the ACC title game, Sam Howell's going to win the Heisman Trophy. And you're going to get a 15-1 is going to be a heck of a lot better than what you're going to get on the money line for Tar Heels to beat Clemson in that game with that money line itself. So if you think the Tar Heels can do it, then 15-1 on Howell to win the Heisman is certainly not the worst wager in the world. The other couple of win totals that I was kicking around Tennessee under the six. It feels kind of pushy, but gosh, maybe Michigan State, but was there a team out there that was ripped apart by the portal more than Tennessee? Year one, Josh Heupel, so much going on, brutal schedule. Pitt is not a gimme non-conference game. So I'd maybe look at Tennessee under six. I don't think they win seven. They're certainly not going to win any of their four SEC road games, and they're not a lock to beat Ole Miss or maybe even South Carolina at home. So I look at maybe under six on Tennessee, and then under 3.5, I think it was, on Northern Illinois. This is a team that went winless last year. Defensively, they were terrible. And you'll look at – they got Maine and Bowling Green at home. But after that, I think it's going to be – they're going to be hard-pressed to find two more wins on that schedule. So that the NIU under 3.5 would be another one that I would potentially be looking at.
All right. There's your Maction coverage there. Did you already – I want to get to this. I have some bets that I've already placed that I wanted to get to the people. Did you already place the Howell?
Yes.
Okay. My Heisman bet so far this year, and it's my other wild card this season, and I know our producer, he might wake up when I say this name, but my biggest wild card is Cincinnati this year. I love what Fickell's done. I think they have a brutal taste in their mouth being that close with Georgia last year, and people could say Georgia wasn't really playing that game, whatever. But to get on the field and be that close to beat a team that this year has a lot of chatter about a national championship in Athens, I think Cincinnati is absolutely fascinating this year because they get the game in Indiana, because they get the game in South Bend. Talking to the Elite 11 guys and the quarterback guys in the offseason, Desmond Ridder is ready to take that step. And that's my Heisman guy right there, 28-1 Desmond Ridder, because if they run the table – I think he wins the Heisman Trophy because he's going to be that big of a difference thing. So I'm rooting for Cincinnati this year for that scenario with Desmond Ridder. I think he's gotten better every year. I love how Fickell's built things from there where they used to be, you know, give the ball to the running back 30 times and we'll figure it out offensively. You know, when Ridder was a freshman, I was reading, you know, Fickell tried getting Joe Burrow to come and be that guy in Cincinnati to let Ridder, you know, learn under Burrow. And, you know, it didn't happen. Ridder had to play as a freshman. But I always trust Fickell with the defense. I know they lost the defense coordinator in Notre Dame, which will be a huge storyline when they go to South Bend. But I'm fascinated by the capability and the possibility of what Cincinnati could do this year. So I have Desmond Ridder 28-1 to win the Heisman.
I think Georgia just failed to convert on third and short again in the Peach Bowl against Cincinnati. What a weird game that was, because statistically Georgia just dominated the game, but they just couldn't convert on third down and really get an opportunity to get up big when they could have. And Cincinnati offensive line really struggled in pass pro as well with a bunch of holding penalties. But that was a really, really entertaining game to take in there. But yeah, hey, look, it's certainly not the worst play. It's going to take them going undefeated, I think, to see Ridder win the Heisman Group. Because voters nationally are not going to vote for Desmond Ridder if the Bearcats go 10-2 and they lose at Indiana and Notre Dame in consecutive weeks.
It's before the season, Barry. You know, everybody's optimistic, and I'm super optimistic about the old Bearcats. And I get a little more interest in watching games at the historic Nipper Stadium. That's all. Love historic Nipper.
Nothing wrong with that. I will be certainly rooting for the Bearcats on September the 18th.
All right.
To win in Bloomington. pin an L on the Hoosiers.
I have a couple other futures that I bet as far as the conferences. Did you do anything yet on those?
Conferences, I have not played any other conference stuff. I did play Georgia to win the title just because I thought the number was good. Okay. And I think it's a situation where if they beat Clemson, the number is going to come down because they're going to be in a situation with a win over Clemson. And if you lose to Alabama or whomever in the SEC championship game, you still potentially could get to the playoff. And I know you're tired of Georgia. A lot of people are tired of Georgia, but at the same time, like the only whose roster are you trading? Like maybe Alabama, maybe Clemson. That's it.
No.
Georgia's roster is loaded. When Daniels finally was confident that his knee was healthy, you saw what that offense could do. I think at some point, Pickens is going to be back. I didn't necessarily think he would be, but the word is that he's going to be back at some point. And they still have guys, Arian Smith and some other guys on offense that are going to be playmakers. So I play Georgia to win the title just because I don't think the number is going to be better than what I was able to get it at for the year.
A couple other futures, and then I want to get into that Georgia more because I obviously want to talk about them in that game against Clemson. I bet I'm looking back at these dates. It must have been one of the first times I saw it. On May 30th, I saw posted odds to win the conference. I took Utah to win the Pac-12 at 9-1. And with that is my feel. You look back and you know how feelings change. I still think that Pac-12 South is going to be a bloodbath. Like, I just feel like everybody's going to beat each other. And the idea of Charlie Brewer getting out of Waco, you know, with Larry Fedora and that obviously not going well. And shout out to Dave Aranda. That's probably my favorite hire this offseason was Aranda bringing in Grimes from BYU and the O-line coach. And I think you watch BYU, everybody talks about Zach Wilson, but what they did offensively, I just really like watching week in and week out. And now I do have my eyes on Baylor just because of that hire.
It's interesting because to play devil's advocate, the flip side, you're not dealing with 24, 25-year-old offensive linemen now.
Nope, Nope, you're not. But the idea and schematics of it, I do like just what they do from that standpoint. But with Brewer going back to him in Utah, I like that fit. And, I mean, I'm going to get that price with Kyle Whittingham, like, to figure it out and how even things I think are going to be. You know, we do get Oregon coming in there, and I know USC doesn't have to play them. You touched on them when you talked about Oregon. But I like that price of Utah and the trust factor there. And the one other I had was Ohio State. I got at minus 180 to win the Big Ten. I just saw that number, and I just – there isn't a game where they're not going to have more talent than the other one. I trust Ryan Day with quarterbacks probably more than anyone in the country. I do find it fascinating what's going to happen when they do name a starter and how many – what do they have, four? What do they got, four on the depth chart there, Bucknut?
Currently only three. Ewers has not officially – he's not practicing yet, so only
three. But he's got his deal with the pop drink, right?
But he's got his holy kombucha or whatever it is.
There you go. But, no, I think Ohio State is – you know, Bear, we talked about – it feels like the last 5 years about how, you know, Clemson, when we – I think it was 3 years ago when we had the preseason them to make the playoff, we just thought that they were so far superior
right.
In the ACC. I do think the teams are catching up to the – you know, Clemson, obviously you like in North Carolina as much as you do. But I still think there's a gap with Ohio State in the rest of that conference. So
North Carolina is closer to Clemson than any team is to Ohio State in the Big Ten.
We agree on that. Believe anything it. Else before we get to week zero and week one?
It's interesting. You hit on the Pac-12 South. Like, you could really make a case. You could make a case for ASU. You could make
anyone.
Case for USC. You can make a case for UCLA. You can make a case for Utah, and I buy it.
Yeah.
Don't try making a case for Arizona.
No, at least they went back to the old uniforms, though. Did you see that?
That's true. Yes.
That's huge.
Yes, that's huge. That is a win. That is absolutely a win. But they're a long way up. Hopefully, Fish and the excitement and the energy of bringing in some former stars there to kind of.
I think it's a great hire. I do. I've heard him talk about the recruiting aspect, and you know, you want to talk about a coaching resume? Check out his.
Look
he's been everywhere.
The guys he's been working with. It's a great list. And like, people want to rip the hire. Like, I don't think too many people were running down to Tucson to take that job with the mess that's been left behind there. So credit to him, and I hope he does well.
Absolutely. I'm really interested to see what he does. Now, listen, this is coming from a guy who graduated high school in 96, right? Arizona recruited me in Connecticut. Arizona. Like, that's the program that they had, you know? Like, and I think Jed Fish, with the guys in the places that he's been, the people that he knows all over the country, that's huge in recruiting.
That was Tommy, right? That was still Tommy, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's just crazy. You know, I thought it was interesting. I heard an interview him. He did where he's just talking about offensive line, and he's just like, "Hey, I'll call guys in Minnesota and show them what the beach is and what my pool looks like and what the setups we have down here in Tucson. They don't have any of that in Minnesota in the wintertime." So I do think it was a good hire for Arizona.
Yeah, you asked if I had anything else. One thing that I do have is I don't know how much you've been paying attention or listening or see, but Chris Andrews and those guys at South Point put up conference-only wins, and there are a bunch there that I really like. I love the idea. I love the concept, and I'm hoping to get out there next week to be able to play these, because there are so many of these that I like. More so than just straight win totals. Like Temple's AAC win total is 1.5. Like they're not beating two teams. They barely beat South Florida last year, and they get South Florida and East Carolina on the road. Like Kansas is under one. It's a total free roll that they go winless in the Big 12. I mean, if they win one, fine, but they aren't going to win two. Bowling Green, you've got it. We talked about them before. You got to beat Northern Illinois and Akron to cover that. Arizona, we just talked about them. They're 1.5. They lost 70-7 last year to ASU. Mm-hmm. They're out of Oregon. I mean, it's just not – it's not going to win two Pac-12 games. Tennessee and the SEC, there is three. Maybe you get Vandy in South Carolina, but they're not going to win four. Mm. Vandy's 1.5. It's just Arkansas State is 4. UL Monroe is 1.5. Like, there are a bunch of numbers out there on those South Point conference-only win totals that are certainly worth taking a look at if you have access to someone in Vegas and playing. And I give Chris and those guys a shout-out for putting something unique like that up.
Absolutely. I have one thought for you to ponder.
Mm-hmm.
Does Clemson, Georgia really mean anything as in the grand scheme of things, looking down the road? Does that game mean anything for the national championship?
It means something for the winner. I think the winner of that game gets a potential, I don't want to say mulligan, but they get an extra bargaining chip. They get a nice little investment in the bank and the kitty to potentially down the road, where if they do happen to slip up later in the year, they can point to that win over the other team as a very strong resume builder for the college football playoff. But I know exactly where you're headed.
Because here's what I'm saying, Bear. Like, we saw the preseason rankings come out, you know, today with the coaches poll. And these five teams are going to be up there because we know what happens with the loser of this game. It's not going to drop them. And they're just going to continue to linger there with that one loss. It's just going to be the argument of, well, whose roster would you rather have? And, you know, this and that. And I don't think it's that important. I get it. It's two of the top, five rosters in the sport. But in the grand scheme, I'm really interested to see how much water it holds as the season goes forward.
You mentioned the top five. Mm-hmm. I know those are obviously the top five title contenders.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to play, and I posed this question on Twitter, you have to play someone other than Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State, or Georgia to win the national championship. Who are you playing?
Iowa State.
Okay. Basically came down to Iowa State, A&M, and Oregon were the most popular responses. And remember, too, I think what you need to look at is they were all on that 30, 35, 40-1 type range. And part of the – in essence, I think the bet is almost like who can make it. That way you give yourself
a huge
potential. I don't think A&M's going to have to beat Alabama and College Station in order to make the SEC championship. They're not going to make the playoff if they don't at least reach the SEC championship team. Iowa State, obviously a good pick. And I thought Oregon had the best potential to potentially go 12-1 and make the playoff and win the Pac-12. That's why I thought they would have been the team that I chose at that number. So just a good, like, water cooler conversation.
I do think it's important for the Pac-12 for Oregon not to get buried. But that's a lot easier said than done.
I don't think they're going to get buried. Mm. The defense is good, man. You're dealing with a great defense and a quarterback who is going to be playing their, second career game? Last time we saw that defense, it got absolutely torched by, granted, an unbelievable offense.
It's going to be interesting. Ohio State still has the advantage of every single position on the floor except one. And they could game plan for that defensive end, as Iowa State did. I mean, I didn't think he did much against Iowa State in that bowl game.
That was like the vintage perfect Iowa State like game ever. Total like complimentary football. We're just gonna, and that's why I love Iowa State. Like, if you want to get into a high score, fine, they can beat you that way, but they are just content. 2nd and 6, 3rd and 2, 1st down. 41-minute time of possession and just bludgeon you. I mean, it's just – and that's what makes them so hard to play and beat, is because teams aren't used to that anymore.
Exactly.
I cannot wait for Iowa State. I cannot wait for that. I am saying a prayer every night that game day isn't Ames for that game.
It would be the first time they're both ranked, right? In the, when they play.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That's
yes,
crazy. Plays early on.
Yeah. And we were there a couple of years ago for that game. It was a weird, massive weather delay, and Iowa State really should have won, and they blew the lead. Turner botched the but, oh, man, I hope we are because that's going to – I mean, that game kind of sets the tone for them for the year. They haven't beaten –
absolutely.
The Hawkeyes in a while. If they win that game, it's a massive boost. And if they happen to lose to Iowa again, who look Iowa very easily last year could have gone undefeated.
The games that
they lost, I mean, like blowing the lead to Northwestern the way they did and losing it, like. But again, you it's up to. I mean, Petrie's a quarterback. Is he gonna be the guy?
Yep.
You'll lose a lot of guys on that defensive front. But again, that's kind of what Iowa's been built on.
Exactly.
Just replacing guys like that. You do have to wonder, though, with Coyle no longer there, the strength and conditioning coach, like, does that impact their player development some? And maybe they aren't as reloaded as normal. But secondary is going to be great. Oh. And you know they're going to be able to run the ball. So I can't – oh, I hope we're in Ames.
Plenty more on Iowa and plenty more on that. As we finish up here, something that sticks out week zero or week one, just a game.
Week zero, there was really nothing that looked at.
But you don't like Burt plus 7 at home against the Huskers?
I can't go there yet. Huskers, I'm curious there. They might be okay. Illinois is in bad shape. I love Burt long term.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know right off the bat. But week one, Wisconsin minus the 4.5 against Penn State. We hit on that game earlier. Last year was a total outlier for really both teams, but even more so for Wisconsin when Cohn left. I think the team kind of became a little bit divided because you couldn't really bench Mertz. You lose all those receivers. Now they're back. I think Wisconsin – I actually got a better number for now it's been bet up to 4.5, but I would still lay the 4.5. South Alabama plus 1.5 against Southern Miss. I touched on that a little bit earlier with Kane Womack being down in Mobile. I think that defense that they have a bunch of starters that are returning. Jake Bentley is now their quarterback. Major Applewhite is the offensive coordinator. I think the wrong team is probably favored, so I'd like South Alabama. Getting the 1.5 against Southern Miss. And then I'm going to take a little bit of a stab on FAU, getting 25 against Florida. FAU is a team that you got 21 starters back. You got changes on offense with the offensive coordinator and Johnson, the quarterback, coming in. Mike Stoops is a defensive coordinator. I don't think people realize that they were 10th in the country last year in scoring defense. Willie put together a nice little staff here in his second year. In Boca, Florida, obviously, new wide receivers, new quarterback. It just seems, I mean, Mullen is just the quarterback whisperer and a great play caller. But at the same time, 25 in an opener against the pedigree of that coaching staff seems like a lot. So FAU plus 25 against Florida, South Alabama plus 1.5, and Wisconsin minus 4.5 against Penn State were the early week one leans that I had.
I think Carolina on the road in Blacksburg for the first time for fans to come back to a game on a Friday night is going to be absolute bananas. And I look at Virginia Tech getting those points, and I know everybody makes a big deal of Sandman, but that thing is real for a night game to start the year. And I mean, that fan base, not being able to go to – I mean, I know nobody can go to games.
When's the last big home game that they won?
I'm not asking them to win. I'm asking them to cover 5.5. That's all. I just look at that. I could just see that being a close game and Howell having the ball in his hands with a chance to win the game late as I think about it right now. And the other one that sticks out to me is week one, San Jose State plus 16 at the Coliseum. San Jose State thrives off of getting these chances to play the California Pac-12 schools. And trust me, I learned it firsthand losing to them when I played. That's That's a perfect game for San Jose State to have all offseason looking forward to start their season. So that's an eye opener to me. I do look at week zero at UCF hosting Boise. That's fascinating to me because I'll tell you, I'm looking at the talent on these top teams in the American. And like I talked about Cincinnati, how much I love them. Like I look at UCF and like I honestly wonder, like if you had a four-team tournament with like the top four teams from the American and the top four from the Pac-12, is there any difference? Because I think they could go toe-to-toe. Like I think Cincinnati could play with Oregon, no doubt.
Okay,
no doubt.
Give you that.
UCF could play with USC. Is that who you're going with?
I guess that would be the team, right?
Right. I do think Navy season win total comes down to Army Navy. I looked at that.
Yeah, Navy was so bad last year.
I know.
But that was – they just started off bad.
All right, so as I said, we'll be here. Oh, you know what? Let's do the Big Mike Happy Recap just in case people skipped. I got Penn State under 9, Toledo over 8.5, BC over 7, Kansas State over 5.5, UConn over 2.5. And Desmond Ritter to win the Heisman 28-1, Utah to win the Pac-12 at 9-1, Ohio State minus 180 to win the Big Ten.
I got Oregon over 9. I'm so used to playing unders, so just Freudian slip. Oregon over 9, Indiana under 8, Old Dominion under 3.5, Louisville under 7. I also play it at 6.5, but I bet it at 7. And UL Monroe under 1.5. Week one, we talked about Iowa minus 5 against Indiana potentially, but definitely Wisconsin minus 4.5 against Penn State, South Alabama plus 1.5 against Southern Miss, FAU plus 25 against Florida. Also talked about maybe Northern Illinois under 3.5 win total. Bet Sam Howell win the Heisman at 15-1, thinking that if they get to the ACC title game and win, and they win, he's going to do it. And then all of those wonderful conference-only props. Do we have time to rip through a couple of maybe cherry pick some Twitter questions from yesterday?
Absolutely.
In case we've just done anything? Let's see. Tell me how Tennessee can win 7. They can't.
I can't.
They already hit on
somebody said take a time machine back to 98.
They ain't wrong.
No.
Is FSU the nation's biggest wild card? No, I don't think they are. I think that win total is right about right. I can't see them being like 5.5 is probably right. I don't think that's like a 9-3 type team. I think they're somewhere in that 5-6 range. This is for you, Steve. Is Notre Dame over 8.5 a trap? What do you think about your Irish? Really didn't hit on them.
It's tough because that first game, I think it's, what was that, like 3 years ago when they went to Louisville? Remember that crazy game?
Louisville jumped out
on them. Mm-hmm. And then they, you know, slowly, methodically got back in it, and Book was good. I see Cohn as a different quarterback in Notre Dame. I love Notre Dame's weapons they have on offense, man. I mean, they got some difference makers at running back, receiver. The tight end's going to be a stud. Or he already is a stud. To me is the defense against what Norv – like if Norvell comes out with Mackenzie Milton and he's 100% and, like, you don't know what's coming. Like that – and if that crowd is into the game, that's a big spot for Notre Dame week one. So I'm going to wait and hold off because I want to see – as far as the season win total, I guess I would go over. But, like, the Wisconsin game is huge. Carolina is huge. Maybe I would lean under. I don't know. I think it's a really good number.
Kent State over 5.5 regular season wins, and you like Toledo.
I love Toledo this year.
I'm not sure about Kent State. Any non-quarterback Heisman plays? Last year I had Jalen Waddle, and I had the wrong Alabama wide receiver, so that worked out well. I know Breece Hall's the common answer, but I think he and Purdy will probably split. Kyron Williams, I guess, if Notre Dame has a great year, could be.
Yeah, yeah.
Could be someone.
Yeah. Bucknut, is Ohio State going to the playoff?
Yeah. I mean, you're really asking that question?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're
going to the playoff.
There's nobody in the Big Ten. Like, I have concerns about the defense.
Are they going undefeated?
Yes.
Yeah.
I answered the question for him.
Is Alabama going undefeated?
Regular season, yes. Yes. They lose the SEC championship game to Georgia.
Wow. Is Georgia undefeated when they play Alabama?
No.
Get back to me on that.
All right. We'll start with conference previews next week, and then we'll dive into some more numbers as far as conferences and division winners, and maybe we can pick a dog in each conference that we like to take a shot on futures too. We're not here for chalk. I got enough chalk out in my driveway with my girls.
700 with Clemson. lay 500 with Ohio State. Let's give you throw a little underdogs out there.
All right, my man. That'll do it for us. Bear, take us away.
Oh, it's been too long since I was able to say that. The less you bet, the more you lose when you win.
You can listen or follow the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Plus, don't miss more from Stanford Steve on ESPN SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And check out the Bear on College Game Day on ESPN.